The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Praise God. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with us over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and kind of wrap up a little bit and kind of give a synopsis of what we went through and what we got through on Sunday morning. And we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul was telling the church in Corinth, he was telling them that I didn't come out with persuasive words. He said, I didn't come out with excellence of speech. He said, I didn't come out in men's wisdom, right? I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, most preachers and pastors and Christians in general are fools because they believe in they can't see. Yet 100% of those people who say that believe in a virus that they can't see either. They believe in love. They believe in conscience. They believe in the conscience awareness, yet we can't see our thoughts. Our thoughts move us to action, yet we can't see them. So the only disqualifier that they use for God is that they can't see him. All right? And they call us fools for that. And they were doing the same thing. There were people that came from Jerusalem, and they were talking about the Apostle Paul. They weren't talking to the Apostle Paul, but they went to the church folks, and they were spreading discord and discontent, and they were talking about the Apostle Paul. Remember last week, this time I said, you know, some scholars had said that the Apostle Paul was short and maybe stocky. And of course, he was Jewish, so he would have had dark hair. Some said that he didn't have very good facial features, had a unibrow, said he was kind of homely looking, right? Isn't it amazing that that is the clarion call for people to dislike people based on the outside appearance of what they look like rather than what they understand? I posted a meme last week on the church page, and it said, you know, be careful when somebody's telling you about someone else. Be careful what you hear about me, because you may be hearing it from the problem. And this is exactly what happened with the Apostle Paul. These men came, educated men, they came from Jerusalem, and they said, well, he doesn't know this. He wasn't trained at the school of this. He didn't know that. He's not an eloquent speaker. He doesn't know anything, and he's teaching wrong. They had a discourse about the Apostle Paul, about how he was teaching it wrong. Yet the Apostle Paul would end up writing 3/4 of the New Testament. In the end, we don't know who those men were, but we certainly know the Apostle Paul. The good thing about it is Pastor and I were talking this week, you know, that when we see the devils, when the devils are coming about, and when demonic activity is going on, the devils, these sons of Sceva, they were Jewish priests, and they came up and they tried to cast the devil out of this man, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we adjure you to come out. And the devils jumped on them and whipped them, beat them so bad that their robes fell off, and they ran out of the place bruised and beaten. But the devil spoke to them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And that's the question that I want to start with tonight. Who are you? Are you a self-made person? Or have you been regenerated and made and born and converted or born again into the image of Jesus Christ? That's who the devils will recognize. Doesn't recognize me. Doesn't recognize, but it's amazing. Just like in the church in Corinth, they had all of the spiritual gifts working in the church. All of them. They were the most spiritual church, the most supernatural, the most Holy Ghost filled church that we. But they were also full of problems. Think about that for a minute. two letters to the Corinthians that we have. There's a third and possibly a fourth that we don't have. There was some serious correction to be made. The Apostle Paul made that. And as we get over into 2 Corinthians, down along chapters 9 and 10, you start seeing the Apostle Paul thinking, well, maybe I was too strong on these guys. Maybe I was too hard on them. But they turned it around. They righted it. They kicked out those false people, those ones that were bringing the false report about him. And this is something that's still relevant to today in 2020. You have to understand which report, whose report are you going to believe? And it makes a difference in your life. If you're going to believe the report of a man, then you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble believing in God. You're going to have trouble coming to church. You're going to have trouble growing in the Spirit, growing in grace. But when you start putting your faith in God and God's Word, then Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then most of this stuff will be added to you. What? You mean, if I want this and the same blood that they had, and the same anointing they had, the same healing that they had, the same power that they had, if I want that, if God's no respecter of persons, if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of that will be added unto me? Think about that for a moment, and if that's true and I believe that, why am I seeking anything else? What wisdom? Do you guys... I just talked to my dad, but I'll share something that he does that bugs the living daylights out of me. My dad, when he's got a hanky, he'll blow his nose with his hanky, and then he'll look at it. What knowledge and what wisdom is he seeking there? It's like, Dad, why? I just want to make sure ain't nothing not supposed to be there. What about that? What about, you know, you throw up in the back of your throat a little bit when he does it, you know. What happens if you can't catch that? There'll be some other knowledge that he's going to be seeking, I guess, one of these days. I don't know. Why would we seek anywhere else? What did the angel say to Mary when she came down to the tomb after the resurrection? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Right? Why do we seek men's knowledge? Because this world is passing away and it's not going to come to nothing. It's not going to amount to anything. Why are we seeking men's knowledge and men's approval when that won't get us even? It won't even get us in the gate. We need to seek the Lord's knowledge and the Lord's grace and the Lord's wisdom. Amen. All right. So we talked about how he didn't come with persuasive words. He says, he goes on to say, the Apostle Paul's greatest concern in the ministry was that he wanted to preach nothing but Christ and His cross. He did not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing but. Oh, sorry, guys. You're not gonna. I hope tonight can get you happy. But if I'm preaching about Jesus and His cross, except you repent, you're not going to be happy. You're going to go through. You're going to go through life, and you're going to think, "Well, this ain't working." I know too many people that have told me, "I've tried that Christian thing, and it ain't working." Well, listen. You need to give up your false Christianity. You need to give up that fake stuff and find the real stuff. Become a true convert, not a false convert, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what worked then works today, and it'll carry us on into the future. If your Christianity isn't working, get a hold of us. We want to talk to you because you may have a false conversion. There's a lot of that going around. It's a bigger epidemic than the COVID, false Christianity. And the problem with it is, we see in Matthew chapter 7 that you may not even find out until you're standing before Jesus and He says, I don't know you. You can do a double check right now And we're willing to help you. We're willing to show you. I wish I would have known as a child that you could know for sure that you were going to heaven. I wish I had known as a child that there is a way to know that you're going to heaven, that you're on the way to heaven. I wish I would have known this. We've since learned it. And there is, and you say, well, if you've learned it, why haven't you got this out there? We have. Where have you been? It's not that we're not teaching this, that maybe you've been on sabbatical. Let's just leave it at that. He didn't preach to show his great speaking skills, his eloquent speaking. Rather, he spoke with fear and trembling. The Apostle Paul, whenever he stood in the pulpit and whenever he preached and spoke to people, he was afraid that he might not warn them that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He spoke it with fear and trembling. We talked about Penn Teller, or Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller on Sunday. We talked about him, and after a well-known evangelist shared the gospel with him, he said, if you believe this and you believe what's in the Word and all Christians believe it, then every Christian who believes dare not keep this from the world. Now that's atheist. If you believe the Bible and you believe that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell, we need to talk because we're going to give an account. One of the stories that we tell here a lot. I would hate to be standing in the judgment and come to find out that there was someone beside me that I saw every day. I would hate to stand before a righteous God knowing that I'm entering in and they're going to be on the other side and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that person look for just a moment and look at me and say, why? Why didn't you tell me? You knew I was lost. You knew I was going to hell. I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I don't think I'm looking at a person here in the sanctuary tonight that would not risk their own life to save their family if they were in a car crash or in a fire. I don't think I'm looking at a person tonight that wouldn't try to save their family if they saw a venomous snake. I don't think I'm looking at a person in this room tonight that wouldn't do something to save someone, especially their family, if they could stop them from plunging over a cliff headlong. However, I may be looking at some people that are saying, man, I'd talk to them about Jesus, but they'd laugh at me. I'd tell them about the Lord, but they might get mad at me. I'd tell them, but they might. Who are you more afraid of? The Lord sending them to hell or them being mad at you? Who are you more afraid of? I would rather offend someone into heaven than to tickle their ears and send them to hell. Because there's going to come a time when there's going to be a separation and there's nothing that can be done at that point. It's too late. As long as breath remains, there's hope. But the moment that the breath runs out, if your heart isn't changed, if you haven't repented, as Jesus said, nowhere in this book does it say accept Jesus. Nowhere in this book does it say, you know, allow Jesus to come into your heart. It says repent. 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 Jesus preached it. Jesus taught it. But we have softened it up to take the edge off of people who are dying and going to hell. Repent and turn. Repent and turn. And remember Sunday, we talked about it. Repentance, all it means is changing my mind. I'm going down this direction, which is leading me to destruction. And Jesus has convicted my heart. And I've looked at His law. And I'm not abiding by His law. I've looked, and there's got to be something that I can do. And Jesus is saying to us, if we will repent, Change my mind. Confess and be born again. It's real simple. I changed my mind, Jesus. I've been displeasing to you. And this is what the Apostle Paul taught. I've changed my mind and I've been displeasing to you. I confess. You were right. I was wrong. And then I have to turn. I can't go this way anymore. I now have to go his way. I now have to follow the cross. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. And he did it with fear and trembling. In the power of God not only refers to the miracles that the Apostle Paul was preaching up in 2 Corinthians 12:12, but also to the Holy Spirit's transforming power in the individual lives of the Corinthians when they were converted. Transforming power in the lives of individuals when we are converted, when we're born again. That's the power that we preach. That's the power to break addictions. That's the power to break sin off. That's the power to get us out of the ditch. That's the power to lift up someone and bandage their wounds. That's the power that we're talking about. That's the power that's not being seen and not being taught and not being preached in the church today. We're too busy preaching about each other. We're too busy putting each other down than to lift Jesus up. You know, you need both hands to lift Jesus up. You can't be putting somebody down, trying to hold somebody down with one hand and trying to lift up Jesus in the other. It don't work. Especially when you're putting down somebody that he died for. And you'll never put anybody down on the face of this earth that he did not die for. Be careful. Be careful. Okay? All right. Then we look far from mere intellectual conversion through human wisdom that they had encountered. The Spirit himself who demonstrated his miraculous presence in them, that's what they were talking about. Not just a mere human physical thing. I got this or I got that. God's not a genie in the bottle. Been preached way too long. Some people have made fun and have joked that, you know, getting saved is like playing a country records backwards, you know. You get your wife back, get your dog back, get your old truck back. That's not necessarily the case. You get your soul back. Jesus came to save our soul. Jesus came to save our soul. This body is dying. Body, that's why we get a new body, right? Praise God for the new body. Amen? Birthday time today. Somebody asked me, how does it feel to be 58? I said, I don't know. I've never been there before. But I'll check back with you in a week or so. How does it feel to be, you know, I don't know. Never been there. Just got there this morning. Haven't even got the camper unpacked, you know. Hey, you know. Shorts tomorrow. We'll let you know, right? And knowing me, it's going to be like the big top. All right, so anyway, you're only laughing because you know it's true. Right? Anyway, all right. The Spirit himself who demonstrated his miraculous presence in them. And then the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God. So we need the Holy Spirit of God. We need Holy Spirit. I love how Pastor Travis doesn't call him an object. He's a person, the third person of the Godhead. He's Holy Spirit. Nobody goes up to Pastor Corey and says, the Corey. You know, and if they were to say the Luke around here, we'd have two of them. Which one are you talking to? It just says, you know, we just say either Pastor or we say Corey or we say Luke. You know, may the Lord be with you. All right, so anyway, all right, just throwing that out there. A little side joke here in the point, it is a point of ridicule to those who are perishing. Now watch this. It is important for us to know. It's important for us to understand as believers, true converts, not false converts, but true converts. It's important for us to know that it is a point of contention and ridicule of people who are perishing. So just be careful if you're trying to ridicule us or the church or the Lord, because if you think that this is foolish, that is foolish, the Bible's foolish, God is foolish, guess what? You just told on yourself. You ain't in the crowd that's going to heaven. You're in that other crowd and you're perishing. And what perishing means is you're destined for hell. There's a difference. There's a distinction. Pastor, we didn't realize several years ago when we started talking about distinction that this was the distinction that we were coming to. There is a distinction. And as we see the last day's stage of end times being set and played out before us. You know, you ever been to a play? Have you ever been to a play and you get there and they got the curtains closed and they're playing some nice music and they got it's mood music while people are finding their seats and getting their popcorn and getting their drinks and getting their junior mints or whatever they're getting and they're getting their programs and they're heading to the there's mood music playing. How many people really pay attention to the curtain while that music's playing and people are coming in and shuffling about? Nobody, right? Nobody's paying attention. But the minute that the lights dim, it gets quiet. You don't even have to say, quiet! Hey, we're getting ready to start. Quiet! You don't even have to say that. The minute that the lights start dimming, there's an expectation, isn't there? Let me just be crystal clear. For those who have their spiritual eyes open, the lights have started to dim. The grand stage of the last days, the curtain is about to be pulled back. The players are ready. They're in place. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I'm not paying attention anymore to the news. Here's breaking news. This is breaking news on the world stage today. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? And that's where we want to start tonight. That's our jumping off point. Are you ready? The question that I have, you can say, well, I've heard that ever since I was a little kid. My grandpa believed that. You know what? I'll give you one even better. The apostles believed it. And they still believe more than you all. All of life's final issues are settled at the cross. Versus God's provision, settled. Man's sin versus God's love, settled. Our adversary, the devil, versus God's perfect son, settled. Everything was settled at the cross. And do you know why? Because the last words at the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, said, "It is finished." If he'd have been talking in Latin, he would have said, "Fini." It's done. Now, the issue remains open in our own minds because we have to be able to accept that it was finished. We have to be able to believe and then receive that it was finished, it was settled. As long as we have that door open in our life, then we will wrestle with the things of God. But the minute that we resolve that issue, I'm talking to born-again believers, minute that you resolve that one issue, then everything falls into place and starts making sense. It's like putting a chain on a sprocket. You can get it all the way except About three quarters. And if you're on a motorbike, you try to bump the starter a little bit to roll it around. If you're on a bicycle, you try to crank the crank to get it to go around. And it's like we're almost, the chain is almost on in a lot of believers' lives. But the minute that it clicks, now you've got locomotion. Now you can ride. Now you can be free. And you just hope that the chain don't pop off again. The chain's almost on. It'll click. And the minute that it clicks that it was settled at Calvary, when Jesus said it was finished, the minute that that gets settled in our hearts and our minds, then the Bible will make good and perfect sense to us. It's already done. From the time of the resurrection to the end, the Bible becomes a will. And Jesus wasn't satisfied that just any old haphazard person could come back and be the executor of his will. You see, he laid in the grave for 3 days. And then he rose again to become the executor of his own will. I think his plan's going to be followed to the letter. I believe in the Bible it says not one jot or tittle will not go unfulfilled. And Jesus is making sure of that tonight. Amen? God is still on the throne. Doesn't matter who's in Washington, Jesus is on the throne. Doesn't matter who is in charge of NATO, Jesus is on the throne. Doesn't it matter who's in charge of the UN? Jesus is on the throne. Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and He's moving, and He's directing, and He's guiding and leading us. Amen? So we need to let this power of the finished work happen in our lives today. Okay? All right. There's my introduction. And Corinthians chapter 3. So, all right. Amen? I'll just stay over here. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Sectarianism is carnal, is what the way my Bible has this one titled, this chapter titled. And the Apostle Paul, again writing to the church at Corinth, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." He said, "I couldn't speak to you as spiritual folks. You try to speak supernatural things and spiritual things to a babe in Christ or someone who's more in the flesh than they are in the flesh, they'll get offended at you. They'll get offended. They'll get mad at you." Well, what did we had some people that came here and you can check. I offer up my notes every time I preach. They had some people that come here and they said, "Well, you heard something about us and you were preaching about us." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about, but if Holy Ghost directed me to this passage and it got on your toes, you need to step up instead of run away, because the Lord's trying to get your attention, the Lord's trying to tell you something." And this is the exact same thing. So Paul's saying, he said, "I spoke to you, I had to speak to you as babes. I wanted to come to you and tell you what thus says the Lord, but you couldn't even figure out so much as whether there was a Lord or not. You couldn't even figure out whether or not you wanted Jesus or not, let alone to understand the spiritual deep and depth and truth of God. You'll never go deeper than your desire for the Lord." That's it again. Let me rephrase that. You will never go deeper than your willingness to learn about God's truth, God's power, and God's will in your life. Some people are fine just showing up on Sunday. And I understand, I always have to qualify this. There are people that are working. I know. God bless you. Thank God for your jobs. Thank God that you got good paying jobs and you're working tonight. God bless you. We love you. Get on the broadcast. Hit some hearts on there. You know we love you. Love us back. All right. The Apostle Paul said, he said, I wanted to come to you. I wanted to show you these deep things. You know what happens if you show a babe in Christ some deep things? They're like giving a baby a steak. They may gnaw at it a little bit, but when it comes to it, they can't eat it. They can't digest it or appreciate it. They'll get frustrated trying to eat the meat because they can't digest it. They'll get frustrated saying, "Well, I don't think the Bible says that. Here's what so and so told me." You get frustrated, and when you get frustrated, you get spun out, and that is what we call giving place to the devil, because you know some of this has to happen on your own. If you're only reading the Bible when you come to church and pastor says turn to this passage or that passage, maybe you don't even open up your Bible. If your Bible's not written in, marked in, and got circles and highlights, and I'm not sure what that one meant, but if your Bible doesn't have all that in it, you're not using your Bible properly. You're more interested in things of the world than you are the things of God. You only want fire insurance. You only don't want to go to hell. You don't love Jesus. You don't want to have a relationship with Jesus wherein there is power. You just don't want to go to hell. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to go to hell, but don't call yourself a disciple if you don't want to learn what says the word of the Lord. Don't call yourself a disciple if you can't find yourself in the will and seeking more of God's will and saying, "God, I want to be closer to you than I am to this world. I want to be all spot on with you. I want to be walking lockstep with you more than I am with this world, because I know that this world is going down and I want to go with you going up." Squirrel? Y'all looking at me strange. No. I'm preaching better than y'all, amen. I know, you know, listen, you can either say, "Oh, amen," or "Oh, my," because that's the word of God. Jesus said it like this: "When I come back, I'd rather that you be hot or you be cold. But if you're tepid and lukewarm, I'm going to puke you out." The King James gave us some flowery language and said, "I will spit you out." But what it means in the Greek is a term that means I will be repulsed by you and I will puke you out. Are you repulsing Jesus by your lukewarmness? He said he'd rather you be hot or cold. That's not me talking. That's the word of God. Amen. And here the Apostle Paul says, I wanted to speak to you as spiritual people. Not as to carnal. He said, I couldn't speak to you in the things of the Spirit, because most of us can't even get past salvation yet. Most of us haven't repented and turned all the way yet. We haven't let go of the world yet. We still enjoying that part of the world that gives us pleasure. We depending way too much on God's grace and God's favor and God's mercy rather than trying to follow Him and be pleasing in His sight and be holy as He is holy. You know, they're preaching about God's grace these days, but ain't a whole lot of people preaching about holiness and being you holy because He is holy. Let me just tell you something. God would rather that we be holy because He's holy. There are no attaboys in heaven. Sorry. E for effort. Good try. No, sorry. That's the modern school system. No passing you along just because they want to get rid of you. We got to do it God's way. It's His heaven. If we're going to enter it, we've got to come God's way. This is the life that He's given us. If we're going to live it for Him, then we've got to live it His way. Could somebody look at us and observe us for 4 days or in a row straight and realize if we didn't know they were watching us, if they were to watch our life, if they were to watch our interaction, uptown with the bank and with the gas station people and at the grocery store. If somebody were to watch our interactions and follow us around with a hidden camera like a reality show for 4 days, would they be able to draw the conclusion that that person is saved and full of the Holy Ghost or not? Are we still carnal? Or are we babes? So verse number 2 says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you were still not able. We need to be able. We need to be able. He said, but you're still carnal. For where there is envy and where there is strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and the other says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God never intended for pastors to be rock stars. Matter of fact, Spurgeon said if the preachers were doing their job right, they would be the most despised people in the world. Because there's two possible outcomes when a man of God is standing behind the sacred desk preaching from the Word of God. People either get saved or they get offended. Two outcomes. That's it. That's the two outcomes. And that's what Spurgeon said. If people are not getting converted, are they getting mad? It's reported that Moody one time when in a street revival, Moody, it's reported that people threw bricks at him while he was preaching. At least people were honest back then. They literally threw bricks so that he could see where they were coming from. They didn't go around and throw invisible daggers behind his back. I mean that's the times. Different change in times, right? Change in times. Okay. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, Pastor Burkhart had a really good take on this. And I'd ask him about this a time or two. We'd have people that would come in and get saved, and they would stick around for a little bit, and then they would be drawn away. And they would be drawn away by whatever, acquaintances, relatives, wherever, to another place. And Dr. Summerall said, in one of the teachings that we listened to on Sunday night, Dr. Summerall said that most of the churches in South Bend built their congregations on his doorstep. Means that he would get them in, do the work, get them saved, and then they would pull them away. And I love what the Apostle Paul said. I love what Dr. Summerall said. I love what Pastor Burkhart said. He said, look, according to this passage, the one who waters and the one who plants are the same. They get the same reward. I get the reward. They came. They received Jesus. They heard about the Lord. I get the same reward. Praise God. I fulfill my mission. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. Now, woe be unto those, woe be unto you, the Bible says, if one of these little ones becomes offended because of you. And what that means is, if someone comes and pulls one of these little ones out, and they backslide because of that, or they're offended because of that, their place, Jesus said, it would be better for them that a millstone would be put around their neck and they cast into the sea. Jesus doesn't like it. That's naughty. All right? Quoting Dwight Thompson. That's naughty. You need to stop it. Because if You send someone to hell, their blood is on your hands, and you may not make it to heaven either. The only blood you want on your hands is the blood of Jesus Christ, which saves us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. A lot of people, and especially in our community, a lot of people have the blood of other people on their hands. Okay. Sorry, went a little deep there. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. His own call. The calling that God put in your life, you're going to receive your own reward according to that. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. When they were building the new high school. I remember this because I was, had some friends on the police force at that time. When they were building the new high school, they had several big old air conditioners out in the parking lot that it took a semi to transport them. Biggins. And one night, in the middle of the night, those big old air conditioners disappeared. Poof. And David Copperfield wasn't in town, so we know that they really disappeared. Right? How do you hide an air conditioner that weighs 20,000 pounds? Pretty simple. You cart it off to another construction company that's going up that needs 20,000-pound air conditioners, and all seems well for a while until they run the VIN, they run the checks, the serial numbers. It's like, wait, those were here, and you took them there, and how did they get there? And, oh, we don't know. They just came in by truck one night. Whoa, that's not suspicious. Be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. You know you're building, don't you? The foundation has been set, and from the time that you repented and turned and gave and turned your life around and were born again and agreed with Jesus, from that moment on, you've been building. Have you been building with wood, hay, and stubble, or have you been building with stone and precious metal? What have you been building with? What have you been using? Have you been building? That's the question. Again, the First Corinthians was written to believers. Are we building? Will our house stand? We're building a house. And the Apostle Paul said, he a wise master builder. He said, but let each one take heed how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay but that which was laid, which is in Jesus Christ. If you're not building on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, you're building amiss. You're building amiss. I don't believe that anyone who is saved is a life wasted. But I believe that there's a lot of opportunities missed by people who are saved. Let me say that again. I don't believe that anyone who is saved is a life wasted. But I think after we're saved, there's a lot of opportunities that we miss to build on the foundation that was laid when Jesus said, it is finished. Amen? Let's be wise master builders. He says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, straw, he said, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort that it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he's going to receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. So talking to Christians, not a heaven or hell issue, but you don't want your work to be burned up and not be worth anything. He said, you'll suffer a loss. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as through the fire. We want to receive that reward, don't we? We want, the Apostle Paul would tell us, run the race in a way that you might obtain it. That means there's a way that you might obtain the prize. That means that there's a way to run the race where you won't win the prize. All right? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks to be wise in the matters or this age, in the matters of this world, let him become a fool so that he might become wise. I see more and more Christians posting that they're not watching news anymore. They're getting rid of the infection. They're inoculating themselves with the infection by turning off the news, cutting out the media altogether, cutting out the fear out your life. Cutting the doubt out your life. Cutting everything. Now listen, we are commanded to cast down everything that exalts itself against the name of Jesus Christ. That means that most of us either be getting rid of our TVs or watching Andy and Barney reruns. Nothing coming out of Hollywood is glorifying to God. Nothing coming out of the news is glorifying to God. Matter of fact, it is quite the opposite. It's quite the opposite. I'm not telling you to go throw away your TVs. I'm saying you need to pass it through the filter of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And if it's not lifting up God, if it exalts itself against God, you know, like the governor of New York, we don't thank God for this. We did this for ourselves. What a mess. What a mess. You're going to stand before him. Get ready. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Get ready. Now this is a strange teaching for a Wednesday night, but this is where we were going. This is where the Lord led us and this is where we are. All right? Let him become a fool in the world's wisdom. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You want to impress God? You want to see God laugh? Tell him how bad COVID is. Oh, it's so bad. There's nothing that we can do about it. I think he can. Do you realize that before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew that you would be here in 2020? He knew that you would be facing this pandemic, if you can call it that. He knew that you would be facing government lockdowns. He knew what you would be facing before you were born. As a matter of fact, in one scripture it says, I formed you before the foundation of the world. He knew what we would be going through. If you need to get through this and you need to get through any situation in your life, you might want to check with the one who knows the beginning from the end. And everything through. And then begin to depend on him and lean on him. Well, how can I trust in him? Well, first you got to know him. You got to surrender your will to his. You got to give up this world, this foolishness of the world. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. That's the Apostle Paul talking to us. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and that they are futile. They're futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, here's Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or the things present, or the things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ. Isn't it amazing how in verse number 23 he ties this all up? And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. If you are Christ, you belong to him. sold out completely, not holding anything back. He didn't hold anything back from us, did he? If we're not holding anything back, then we are Christ. If we've repented, then we are Christ. If we've turned, then we are Christ. And if we're Christ, then we know that Christ is God's. And then we can say in unison, God's got this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And it doesn't necessarily mean mansions like, you know, big stars have, like big TV preachers have. Doesn't mean that. In my Father's house are many, many rooms and dwelling places. Places for us to dwell in. So, how about we just say, come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. Come and go with me to my Father's house. God bless you. Come back and be with us on Sunday. Get a hold of us if you need to.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.